going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Dude, Ryan Poles was extremely proud of himself and the work they had done.
Ben Johnson talking about, yeah, now we're cooking with grease, you know, as he's talking to
hot grease
in Colston Loveland.
We cooking with hot grease now, man.
Hey, it's Ryan Poles from the Bears. Great to be a Chicago Bear.
Let's go, coach. Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Colston assumes it's the coach that's on the line, but it's Ryan Poles that's on the line.
So here's the thing about that. I think that's just football people.
I remember we were out in California for a wedding, and he was talking, and he said, I'm going to beat out Drew Bledsoe. And I go, we call each other coach. I go, coach, this is Drew Bledsoe, Pro Bowl quarterback.
Tanny and I literally call each other coach because we've been around so many coaches that only call you
well,
coach.
Well, but that's one of you does that.
When I get introduced, people say, what would you like me to call you? Dave, on a golf course or something, they're not going to remember. I said, just call me coach. It's simpler. 40 years of coaching, the guys that I normally would get worked up with, you know, I'm not going to call players coach, okay? And I don't look at you or Spiegel as a player, sure as hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
You know how many times over 40 years of coaching that I've turned to my assistants and says, coach, are you kidding me? It comes out.
There was a line coach at the Bears named Carl Dunbar, and he would always just talk to me and be like, coach.
Coach.
Coach. Coach, I gotta tell you.
Okay.
We're doing our best here, coach.
Either way, that's
football people are
amazing
like that.
Phone call.
The best people in the world, the best people on this planet play the game of football.
And man, the players are saying, we love the Coach Spiggs.
It's an amazing phone
call. It is. It's a great phone call, especially the part where Kevin Warren has to convince him that they should move to Arlington Heights.
Hey, Colston, congratulations.
Hey, how you doing?
We're the largest landowner in Arlington Heights. We own 326 acres, and it's a great piece of land.
Yep.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. There is a ton for us to discuss as it pertains to the NFL draft. The Bears have made all of their picks. They've signed free agents, street free agents, and we are going to discuss them as long as the day goes on. Mike Hall is going to join us at 4 o'clock today. Mark Grody is going to return to do a Bears hit, two words, today at 5 o'clock, and we'll break some stuff down from the draft itself. There's a lot of interesting national stories with the draft this year, too. The Shedeur Sanders thing, talk about that a little bit later on. And I am surprised at some of the rhetoric around it, but we'll get to it later on in the show.
Who am I? That man is, who am I?
That man!
Oh, thank you. Whew. God, it's hard.
It's Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, it's hard to do. Yeah, it is. The national thing was funky. The whole draft was a funky thing. Mel Kiper broke. And I feel bad for Mel on some level, but the whole conversation around the draft is a pretty fascinating thing. I believe that the White House press secretary commented on the president's post about Shedeur Sanders today.
Well, and he got pulled into the draft because of Clay Matthews.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean, like, you know.
Yeah. We got GM children out there being part of ugly pranks, man. This was a chaotic weekend of the NFL showing you it's the boss even in its offseason.
Yeah, it was still pretty, I thought, pretty exciting and I think wonderful for the Bears in what it is that they got. And I know that there are people that are still upset about the Tyler Warren thing versus the Colston Loveland thing. I imagine some folks have maybe come around and they're like, oh, you know what? This kid is really athletic and could do some stuff.
Here's the thing. I feel like this entire Bears draft was odd. Like, it felt kind of frustrating in real time. I certainly felt that, and I saw a lot of reaction to that. And it takes some contextualizing and some intellectual processing to figure out what happened here, because we were a part of it. But you and I would dig in and really try to get in there, and we try to bring stuff to each other to try and figure out what is draft narrative, draft prep narrative, and what is not about these guys. Like, if you're comparing what the Bears did to what the popular draft narratives were, then it's quizzical. Colston Loveland's better than Tyler Warren? Huh? They waited until round 7 to get a running back?
Yeah. Huh?
They took a speed linebacker who's more of a Sam. They took like a Jack Sanborn replacement in the 4th round? Huh?
They took a tackle that might be your starting right tackle, and that might mean that you have to move a guy from right tackle to left tackle.
Or he could just be your swing. They took another offensive lineman who might be a backup center with what seemed like a premium pick.
They took a defensive tackle that likes to hit people in the ding ding.
Yeah, oh, that one's kind of fun. You called that, by the way, on Friday.
He's a good player, man.
So they didn't take an edge rusher. There's no edge rusher in this draft for these guys. What are they doing? Like, so there was a bunch of things, and they seemed to trade down like 3 different times. You know, and they did trade down 3 different times, and every time seemed to be after a running back left the board. You know, that maybe they wanted so. Here's what I feel like we got to remember, and you know this, Lawrence, that the draft narratives have very little to do with what they're actually doing. Like, their job is to dig in on the tape and evaluate players and stay true and honest to their perspective and not get caught up in what the mocks are saying and everything like that. And we, of course, get caught up in what the mocks are saying, and then you judge it against that, and it takes you a little while to figure out. We'll talk about these picks in detail. There's a bunch of them that make a lot more sense once you really think about it and dig in on the context. It just takes some work.
That's why I always talk about, like, lying season. And I think that it's not a coincidence that the Bears and Tyler Warren were connected. Like, I think that that's part of the job of the team, is to try and make it as advantageous as possible when they're thinking about drafting. So, sure, let people think that that's who we're targeting. Oh, we're not targeting him. Our secondary target is a running back, and we're going to trade up for that running back. You do all of that so that people don't know that the guy that you think is Sam LaPorta is Colston Loveland.
Yeah. The guy that you can't really run a Ben Johnson offense without is Colston Loveland. Like, if you want to have that tight end who can do everything, that's who you needed to get and not Tyler Warren. That's the part that I didn't get. Well, I didn't understand it.
So wait, but I want to be clear about this too when it comes to Tyler Warren, because I don't want to go from the Bears should have drafted Tyler Warren too. No, he totally doesn't fit with the Bears. I think he would have fit fine.
He could have fit.
What they wanted to do. I think that Loveland is a better fit. And I just think that just the speed and the route running is going to allow him. I have some questions about Tyler Warren overall, and I wish he wouldn't have gone to the Colts. I wish he would have gone to a better passing offense than the one that he is going to, but maybe that gets corrected next season and he'll be fine after they either decide that Richardson is the guy and he improves, or they say, screw it, we're going to go draft another guy.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. But it's like, these guys, they're looking for ball players. They're really looking for ball players, and they're breaking down way more tape than I did, than you did, than any of our listeners did, anybody doing a mock draft. And they're meeting with these guys and figuring out who are ballers. Did you see what the Lions did this week? The Lions did this week. All their personnel in the draft room, they had T-shirts. They gave out T-shirts. It said HWS, which stood for height, weight, and speed. And they had a line crossing through it. Okay. Screw the height, weight, and speed. Looking for ball players. Looking for ballers is the message. And when you break down these guys, freaking Luther Burden, man. Holy, there's some issues there.
Which we'll get to. Ooh,
but that dude is a baller. He's got that thing. This seventh round running back doesn't have the breakaway speed, but oh my God, is he a player when you watch the tape and you figure out it's a two-time captain who never fumbled in 707 touches over 2 years. Like, there's a bunch of ballers who may not have some of the measurables, so they didn't get up in the draft narratives, but these guys, they're trusting their vision, and they're taking who they like.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, and by the way, I really like that Ryan Poles thanked the families of the front office people. He's like, I understand what this is like. Like, these, let's say it's the last 4 months. What the last 4 months is like is that you're probably not seeing your loved one. Your loved one is staying at the facility, crunching through tape, making recommendations, like all of this stuff. So I appreciated him saying that because you don't think about it that way, but clearly he did. Here's what he said about the overall philosophy that the Bears had going into this draft.
Really did a good job following the board and kind of letting it talk to us. We were going to just continue to bring really good football players in here. And when you look at the roster, like, you feel good about really all 22 guys starting and playing in a pro football game. So when you're taking these guys, you know that it's going to increase the level of competition. You know that you're adding depth. You know that you're just throwing more talent. And everything usually settles out the way it's supposed to when you continue to do that. That's what I think really good rosters do.
Do they have any target at edge?
At edge?
Any intentionality of adding the edge?
Yeah, so again, I'll go back to the discipline part. We're going to look at the board and see where it's at. If there's someone we really like, then we'll pick the player.
The board, letting the board come to them and just kind of trusting it. He didn't dismiss this idea that they traded down three times just after running backs had left. You see that? Like, they brought that up to him, and he didn't dismiss that idea. They were just trusting their vision and trusting their board. Now, if their vision sucks, we got a problem.
Well,
but they got to trust their vision.
But we won't know that for a while. I mean, we won't know whether any of this stuff makes sense. And there was something that I noted, you know, this past weekend where I'm like, all right, I'm just going to put that over here and see if it ends up playing out. And that's like the idea of maybe Ben and the coaching staff is kind of seeing what they want to see, because there's so many players that they comped to other players that he coached. And so, do you really see it, or was it just like, oh, well, yeah, this guy is totally like this guy. Like, are you wish casting it? So it's something that
confirmation bias gets all of us.
It truly does. But it's, I thought that their draft was fascinating from some of the choices that they made. I also think it seems clear to me, and maybe you disagree, this felt like Ben's draft.
Oh, big time.
This felt like big time. He and I appreciate Ryan Poles being confident or comfortable enough to be like, yeah, I'm gonna let my coach kind of guide my hand a little bit in this. To if he needs a second round receiver, even though we've already got Roman, DJ's locked up for a while, fine, go ahead and get him.
Absolutely, you need specific kind of weapons to do what you want to do. You go ahead, and that's the way football organization has to be, man. The GM, it's got to be true alignment. It really does, and I think they've got it. And you know what? On the defensive guys, it's Dennis Allen's vision. On Hippolyte, the linebacker who we're talking about, the speed guy who's really more of a Sam, we don't know what he's going to be. We're thinking about it from the Matt Eberflus perspective. We don't know if Tremaine Edmonds is going to be exactly what he was for Matt Eberflus under Dennis Allen. We know they needed to get faster. Hippolyte is fast as hell.
Well, that is something that definitely carried through the draft. And Poles said it. Like, they were looking to add speed to their roster, and they did that.
And they're going to get pressure through scheme and speed. So, no, they don't get an edge rusher. But Dennis Allen has always gotten pressure through scheme and speed. So, let's go. What are they going to use that linebacker for? How is he going to get utilized? They might play three backers sometimes. And still play Kyler. Like, three backers in a Dennis Allen defense might not mean there's no Kyler. You know, they're talking about getting other positions. Maybe Hippolyte's going to play when Kyler plays a little safety or plays a little corner.
They went and got themselves a man corner, too.
Yes, they did.
You know, so there's a lot of stuff to kind of digest, and we'll continue to do so. And we're going to let you hear from our experts, too. As a matter of fact, one of our experts had a thought on how this draft went and how the roster is being constructed. You should stick around for that. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on the screen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
We are going to give out 5 pairs of tickets today to see Sam Morril over at the Chicago Theater. That's October. When you hear something like this.
You know that Billy Joel song, I Love You Just the Way You Are? A woman would never write a song like that. If Billy Joel were a woman, that song would be called You Are My Project. We'll see where this goes.
So when you hear that, be the 6th caller to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670.
I'm sorry. That resonated a little too much right there.
It's the truth. He tells no lies.
Reminds me of the Bill Burr bit, like, we're still working on me in his marriage. Like, we're still working on me. You know those buildings that have the scaffolding around them and have been that way for 6 years? That's me. My wife, she's a finished museum piece.
But in his latest special, and I took it to heart, a lot of the stuff that he had to say, like the idea of just being like, you know, you don't have to be mad about that stuff. You could just be like, yeah, let's go to dinner. And then he gets kisses, and he's like, I like getting kisses.
It's a great special to watch with your significant other, that Bill Burr special. Drop Dead Years is what it's called. It's awesome.
She watched it without me, but I have noticed that she's much more calm about my idiocy of late, so maybe that had a nice effect.
It was nice to have someone speaking for us, all of us that are in that window. What did he say, 49 to 61, the drop dead window? We're all right there.
Oh, God.
Bears draft went on this weekend. Our guy, Olin Krutz, had some things to say about it, including this, where he talked about Poles roster construction and what it tells us about his football mentality.
I think Cole Kmet better give me a call. We better work on his blocking. Gonna work on his run blocking, right? That's gonna be his value to this team. But he has shown, man. I mean, the team you just named, David at Mully, my gosh.
Yeah.
Take them to a 7-on-7 tournament anywhere, right? And they also got the guy from Washington, right, Zacchaeus.
Oh, that's right.
He's a pretty good wide receiver.
Yep. Good old
man.
Zeke.
I mean, this place. Building. That's what I'm saying about Ryan Poles. When you look at the way he builds his football teams, and this was before Ben Johnson got here, right? He overloads the wide receiver room to give that young quarterback a target that he needs, right? So it's interesting when you look at this, when you watch him. I mean, Colson, you can say Loveland is a tight end if you want, right? When I turn the film on, I see a glorified wide receiver, really, when I watch him play football, right? A guy that split out a lot. Now, I only watched this year. I don't know how much of that is because he was fighting through a shoulder injury, which a lot of respect to him for playing with that injury, right? And I know they got it fixed this offseason in surgery, and he'll be out for a little while during minicamp. But when you look at this team, and you guys, I don't know if you guys saw this, but when the Bears were on the clock, I'm sure you guys did, and they were putting all the stats from the Bears offense last year. I mean, it was hurting me watching that, right? Like, they were this many points, last in this, last in sacks, last in yards per game, last in points scored from week 8 to 17. And I was just watching, I think to myself, man, I remember doing analyst work watching that team play, right? So you see why they're trying to put assets into that room. It's just the way that they see it may be different from some people, right? The way I keep saying, okay, do you want to beat them outsmart them, or do you want to beat them up when you win football games? And for me, when I look at the Chicago Bears, the way they build their team, they want to outsmart guys. They want to have these dynamic pieces, too much for you to cover, and we run routes, and we get open.
My problem with that is they just spent a giant pile of free agent money on beating up people in the middle. Like, the three guys on the offensive line and one real dude on the defensive line, close to the football, like Olin says. So now they've added some pieces. They're definitely giving Ben tools so he can outsmart people, but that's where he excels, while they've also spent the money on beating you up.
Well, I like the Ozzie and Shamar picks, because I think those are two guys. Well, although and Ozzie even said, like, he's a little bit more of a technician than a mauler, even though he's 6'8 and 315 pounds.
This is the lineman from BC, not the former White Sox manager.
Correct. It would be hard for Ozzie Guillen to play right tackle.
He's not 6'8".
No, he's not. It would be a struggle for
Carry
him.
Carry on. I think that's the only time I'll do it. Keep going, Ozzie. Because we don't want to say Ozzie.
Right.
We want to say, let's say Ozzie because Trapillo? Trapillo?
He's Ozzie ZZY, right?
Yeah.
Instead of ZZIE.
I've derailed the whole thing.
Should we just call him ZZ Top?
Speaking of pick.
We should do something. We just call him Trapillo.
I think Trapillo.
So Trapillo and Turner, those two guys kind of strike me as a little bit more of like, let's be more physical.
To be clear, it's not Justin Turner. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. See, I couldn't resist.
Couldn't resist it.
What the hell's he doing around here?
All right. So, Tanny, why don't we go to Olin saying
more
things?
Yeah, you guys were talking about the O-line, right?
Yeah, we were talking about this offensive line. And them not taking enough linemen inside of the draft.
Yeah, it's kind of, we're having the argument. I don't want to say that he didn't put assets into the offensive line. It's just kind of, would I have built the offensive line the same way he built it, right? He did go out and trade for Jonah Jackson, and Jonah Jackson makes close to $20 million a year, right? And gave Drew Dolman $14 a year, and Joe Thuney makes close to $20 yep. million a year. Yep. Drafted Darnell Wright with the first pick. You know, I think it was the 10th pick in the 2023 draft, Braxton Jones, third round pick, Karan Amagaji. It's just, there were young guards out there, right? Will Fries, Aaron Banks, Tunsil was available from the Houston Texans. It's just, will this plan work, right? Will this plan work? We'd love to see more assets. I would have loved to see them stay there and take the left tackle out of Minnesota just to add another guy to that room, a healthy guy, a guy to compete for that job. Why not, right? Why not throw more assets at a position that's been a problem around here for so long? But they went and got a receiver, and they went, well, you know, you could argue they got two receivers, right? In Loveland, who's a tight end, but first thing someone says about a tight end is you should see his route running. I kind of know what you're getting, right? So just very interesting. It's going to be very interesting as we go into this. Was the plan correct?
Is that like a wide receiver who can block? You should see the way that he blocks.
You should see what he provides in the run game. I know what I got.
So Loveland had said in pre-draft, like, look, I know that people look at me and they see like a big wide receiver. He does take a lot of pride in his blocking.
And it's gotten better, supposedly.
And considering that he's a Jim Harbaugh commit at that position, you would think, knowing the type of offense that Jim Harbaugh and now Sharon Moore run, that is a part of his game. So hopefully it's something that can be improved. I look at him as being an absolute weapon out there as a speedy tight end or wide receiver in a tight end body like Olin's talking about. But I think he can help them.
What I was told today by somebody who knows was specifically this. Ben can't run his offense without a tight end like Colston Loveland. And I think that fits what you were trying to tell me last week as I raved about Tyler Warren. He needs that kind of tight end. And I thought Kmet could be that kind of tight end and Warren would be the other guy. The answer is no. He needs what Loveland is in terms of the smoothness of a receiver, but still able to do the other tight end stuff when they're scheming to stop him as the smooth receiver that he is.
And I do think that Cole Kmet can still be valuable.
Without a doubt.
It's just, it's a different, I think Olin's 100% right about that. You better get your big boy pads on, because you're going to be asked to be a little bit more in line than maybe you have been
Cole?
Over the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
We've also got to figure out what to do there, too.
Because I would imagine that
Colin Colston.
Yeah, I would imagine that Cole is probably a nickname for Colston, but we can't do that because we got Cole. So we probably have to go last names on them.
Loveland is going to be fun. Yeah. Like, oh, Caleb going to Loveland.
We're missing Floose already. He's so good with those nicknames.
Loveland.
he's just up there talking to his bees.
Hey, Wolverine.
No, he's in Dallas trying to get some stuff together for them.
Yeah. Hey, Jonesy. Hey, Jerry. How are you? Don't call me that.
When we come back, we'll take a look at Ben's vision. And Poles is too. Yeah, that's the segment. Remember that segment we do?
I do. But yeah.
But it was very.
You hinted at it.
It was pronounced this weekend. Shout out to Dan Weeder, too. Kept asking about Ben's vision. He keeps giving us drops.
And there's a rumor out there about a free agent running back we need to discuss for the Bears because it might connect into all this stuff as well.
All of that is next on The Score.